views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub from Empowerment Radio as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges in our day-to-day lives. Find out how you can use the power of your mind to overcome self-sabotaging patterns and build a solid foundation of confidence and self-respect. Learn cutting-edge tools and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. This is the time to empower yourself. Now, here's your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub.
Welcome, welcome to Empowerment Radio, where we talk about breakthrough solutions for everyday living. And boy, we need a few solutions, I believe, because many people have been emailing me feeling scared, sad, out of their mind. Why? Well, because finally the election is over, but for many, the nightmare just has begun. And so this uncertainty of what has been or what is to come in the next few years, what the new president will do, what it means to our rights, our environment, our freedom, and all those kind of things gives probably half of the population or more just a really frenzy in their minds. They're anxious, they're concerned, they're worried. And unfortunately, with all those worries, they feel more and more powerless, demoralized, ready to pack up, move to Canada or anywhere else. So this show is dedicated to everyone who feels a little bit out of sorts, who feels too overwhelmed just by the unknown, and needs to find a little stillness, a little centeredness, a little inner peace inside. So today we're going to talk about how to find stillness in the midst of chaos. And it's not only chaos necessarily on the political theater, it can also be chaos in your personal life. Maybe you had a problem at work, in your relationship. Maybe you have big decisions to make and you just don't really know which way to go. Maybe there is a sense for you that the chaos comes from doing something every day, a profession, going to a job that you really don't like, and you have just to every day get it up. You have to just schlep yourself over there, and you are in the midst of the chaos of that conflict, fighting between finding something else that really gives you joy and purpose and that sense for security and stability that's also at the same time that need that is so deeply rooted. Well, for all of this today, we're going to have a very special guest, a guest that I think she knows quite a bit about chaos. She knows quite a bit about how to transition from one place to the next, how to be introspective, how to sit in the darkness of a tunnel, and how to get out of it and find the light. There's so much that I'm excited to hear from my wonderful guest, but we'll come to her in a moment. I just want to talk for a moment about fear and anxiety. I know fear and anxiety is something that I'm passionate about and something that I really like to help people to understand more about. It's such a common topic. It's such an epidemic. It's such an issue. And unfortunately, fear and anxiety for many people is the most unwanted emotion. It's like the one thing about themselves that they cannot accept, that they just really want to get rid of as fast as possible. Now, as I often say, fear and anxiety ultimately is a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Try to understand what it's all about. But in this case, I do want to say that when you are right now feeling in the midst of all of this, in the midst of the change in the country, the tension that has been created between just a very divided population. If you feel chronic fear and anxiety, do something about it. Because chronic fear and anxiety, as we know, is not only, you know, not very pleasant, it's also not healthy, because it does affect your body, it does drain your energy, and it does have health risks that, if you have this for a longer time, certainly has to be taken serious. But fear and anxiety also changes how you look at the world, because these emotions are creating filters on a subconscious level, filters through which you're looking at your reality in a very distorted way. We all know that when we are stressed, when we are worried, when we're anxious, we are looking at the threat as much bigger than it really is. We are making people more powerful than they are or than we are. When we are anxious and fearful, we just overlook all these aspects in our lives that are good and positive and that can really, you know, uplift us and bring us, you know, into a place of joy, or at least a sense of hope and peace. And we focus only on the things that confirm that doomsday is just around the corner. And so we are living in a reality that is not really encompassing all of its possibilities and all of its beauty because of those filters. And so we just continue to live in that distorted perspective, and in this way drain more of our energy, feel more pulled into all different directions, and eventually also, again, feel like life is black and white and not really powerful. And then, of course, when we are in that fear and anxiety place, we also tending to more disconnect out of the self-protection patterns, disconnect from others, disconnect from the things that are bringing us maybe a sense of purpose or fulfillment. We disconnect from things that are funny or about love or about any creativity or joy. We just focus on that mission to survive or to make the change that we want to see. And so it does diminish our life. It does diminish the way we are approaching our day-to-day. And certainly it does also limit our experiences with oneself and with one another. So if you feel fear and anxiety, take this, what we're going to talk today about, this finding stillness inside, as your first step to disconnect a little bit. Just allow your mind to have a little vacation. Allow your mind to let go of the grip of the news, the grip of the newspaper that you're reading, or the groups that you have been joining and you're discussing feverishly on what has been happening. And just let it go for a while. Just allow yourself for a few minutes, maybe for a day, just to go inwards. Because fear and anxiety mainly focus on the outside threat, on the outside problems, the outside perceived danger. And you're losing your center. You're losing your connection to yourself. You're losing also your connection to your heart. So whatever tools or insights and maybe inspirations you will gain today, just make that first step in the direction to let go of living in fear and anxiety and approaching the challenges more with a calmness and open-heartedness and hopefully also with a greater sense of confidence, because when we have this connection to a stillness within, we also have that connection to really our strength and our abilities. When we are still, we can see things more clearly. When we are connected to our core, to our heart, we are much more able to also approach things from a place of compassion, from a place of inner wisdom, and from a place that does bring solutions in a calmer way and not in a frantic way. Now, enough said, let me introduce my wonderful guest today. She is an author and she is a creator. Her name is Leah Perlman, and she is the creator of the famous Dharma comics, which many of you have probably seen. She has originally created the like button, which is, you know, something probably everyone has pushed in the meantime, because most people have been on Facebook and these like buttons are, I believe, on other places as well. But Leah was driven by an unhealthily strong work ethic, it sounds, and she decided at some point to change her life, which we're going to talk about in the moment. And when she changed her life, she moved away from that have to and from that chaos of working in a very busy field to following something more that was close to her heart, something that was more maybe her true authentic self. And so she started with the Dharma comics and then also wrote beautiful books, which is called Drawn Together, a Dharma comics collection on the curious journey through life and love. It's a wonderful, amazing collection of her work. It's something that I feel you will just go through and feel with every image and everything that she shares touched, and you will have a smile, but you also feel that there is so much wisdom in what she shares. And I went through it and was just happier after reading it. So it's definitely something that can bring in a lot of light into your day. Now, we will be right back after the break with our special guest, Leah Pearlman. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
We'll be right back.
Well, welcome back to Empowerment Radio. I would love to bring on our fabulous guest, Leah Perlman. Leah, thank you so much for being with me on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I mentioned before that you created the like button, and in the break, we quickly talked about it. Now, this like button is something that, in some ways would have been probably like a breakthrough in your work? Was it something that you felt was a big success at that time?
You know, at the time, it was just like something that I felt like the site really needed. There was, people probably can't remember life before the Facebook like button. But back then, there were only comments. So, you know, if somebody posted a photo or a status or a note, you would write comments. And I was a pretty prolific, poster, like most of my coworkers. I was working at Facebook at the time, obviously. And I would have this frustration, which was if somebody would post a photo or something, the comments would tend to say the same thing over and over again. I like it, or cool, cool, cool. And sometimes somebody would write an interesting comment, but you might not even see it in the sea of all the kind of generic comments. Also, I noticed that people sometimes wouldn't leave a comment because if everybody else already said, congratulations, you might not want to say the same thing again. So it was just kind of a personal frustration. And one day I just put an idea on our internal idea board that was, what if we had a button? I called it the awesome button. What if we had a button that would just aggregate all of those similar comments and leave the comments space open for if people had something specific that they want to say? And that way, if you didn't have anything to say, you didn't have to think about anything. You could just click the button. So it would kind of solve all these things at once. It would help us know, which are the popular things so we could highlight them in newsfeed. And it seemed like a really nice consolidation, a lot of things people were trying to accomplish anyway. So to answer your question, it's not like I thought, there's no part of my mind ever that thought we were creating what is the like button today. It was just like this obvious, this is missing, and it would make the site so much better. And so I really put a lot of energy and time into making sure that that project happened.
It's interesting. I mean, it's like a genius idea, and like all genius ideas, you just don't even think about that it's genius in the moment that you're making it. And now everyone uses, but you also probably know that you created a monster, because how many people are addicted to their likes? I mean, yes. I only got 5 likes for my photo. I mean, there is definitely something also about that like button that has a little bit of a as a challenging component for people on it, because they do see it as a form of self-worth, depending on how many likes they get. Did you know that at that time that it's going to really go in that direction?
I had no idea. But I will say I was probably unconsciously one of those people who fed off of validation. At the time, it might be, number of comments, or what were the comments, or, there were different ways to kind of get that, but it wasn't quite so numeric. It wasn't quite so quantitative the way that it is now. So, when I hear you say that, there's a part of me that kind of cringes, because I had no idea the culture that would arise around the like button. And, but sometimes I look at it as really ironic or appropriate to my own life path, because I look at the first part of my life was so driven by external validation, and this phase of my life is so focused on internal validation. And just to see something that I created, in the first phase of my life, and to see how it affects me now.
Well, you didn't really like yourself very much, right? So when you created the like button, at some point you realized that life at Facebook, or the way you lived it, didn't really get you anywhere. And how did you come up to that conclusion?
Yeah, well, I really liked the way you phrased that, the way that I lived it, because it's really true. What happened was, from an early age, I was ambitious. I want to go to the best college. I want to get the best job. Even my parents didn't really know where I got this idea. It was something I kind of came into the world with. Mm-hmm. Very competitive that way. And, you know, at first, maybe, you know, in school, I was doing really well. I'd get all this validation from teachers, parents, friends, and it felt really good. But after a while, and I didn't notice it happening, I started to confuse, you know, my worthiness or my lovability with how well I was doing in a conventional sense of success. Mm-hmm. So getting anything less than an A would start to, you know, have me question my goodness or my worthiness.
Well, and I'm sure there's nobody out there that can relate to you.
Right. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, I got a good job out of college. I went to work at Microsoft. And while I was there, I had a couple friends who were interviewing at Facebook, which was a startup at the time. And even at Microsoft, I knew something was kind of off. It had never been my childhood dream to go work for a big corporation, but I didn't know what my childhood dream was. My childhood dream was always kind of get into a good college, and I never really thought beyond that. So when I was at Microsoft working at this big company and my friends were leaving to go work at this startup, Facebook, you know, I got excited by it and I went with them. Mm-hmm. Facebook was a couple of years old at the time.
So that was already a big step, because it's like the step in the unknown. You're like on this big cruise ship and then you're going into a little dingy. I mean, that's a pretty brave thing to do.
You're right. Yeah, thank you for that. Because there was a little bit of, you know, people around me saying, why are you going to work at Facebook? MySpace has already won. You know, this idea that it was risky. But I didn't feel like it was risky. In some sense, it felt more adventurous than what I was doing, but not as adventurous as like leaving my salaried job and traveling the world or something.
Well, but it was adventurous because you didn't know how much validation you actually will get at a little startup that could just blow up as quickly Yes. as it has been starting up. But then once you were successful and when you saw it, you know, Facebook probably at your time started to bloom and everything, something happened inside of you that you completely turned a 180. And what was that? Where you just decided no more corporations, no more looking for this validation through success. I mean, that is a really big transformation. And how did that happen? What triggered it?
Yes. A couple things. The first answer that comes to mind is pain. Uh-huh. You know, it was one of those things where from the external or, you know, from people at home or something, I looked very successful. But when I was at Facebook, I was surrounded by the most intelligent, creative, like people that inspired me every day, but also people that I compared myself to. And mm-hmm. I no longer was, you know, the small fish in a big pond. I felt like I was constantly trying to keep up, constantly trying to improve myself. I had an eating disorder since I was a young age. It was sort of the way I managed all of my stress was with bulimia, which I kept private. And I had managed to kind of live this external, everything's great life, and this internal, I can't keep up. I can't manage this. I'm never going to be enough. I'm never going to get there, wherever there is. And by the time I was at Facebook, it just started to, just like you said, I didn't realize I was getting into the amount of public validation. Like by the time Facebook was successful, then it was like everyone everywhere was saying, oh my God, that's amazing what you're doing. That's so cool. And so the contrast between what I was getting, my feedback, like you should be so happy, and my internal experience was, I never feel like enough, was the gap between those just widened and widened. And so I was in a little bit, of internal panic actually. But I was still stuck because I couldn't leave. Like I just really thought my worth, people love me and because of what I do, and I can't leave. And one day,
because they would stop loving you?
Yes. Like who would I be? Like this kind of ephemeral feeling like, well, would anyone ever call me? Would anyone want me around? Like this is all anyone ever wants to talk about what I do. So it must be the most interesting thing about me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know whether that was true or not then, but that's what I was afraid of. And
But then your father got sick, right?
Yes.
I mean, there was at that that time. Was that kind of the moment where you made a realization that I need to change something inside of me?
Yes. So I think what happened for me is the pain was at, like, I was just in a, I was almost, if I, I wouldn't have known it then, but I was unconsciously looking for a way out. And my dad had gone back and forth with lung cancer. And it had been in remission, but my mom called me one day to tell me that it had come back. And it was one of those things where we knew he had been lucky to catch it early. He had been lucky to go into remission, but we knew if it came back, it was a problem. Mm-hmm. And I had been denying his illness, just like I'd been denying all of my own pain most of the time he'd been sick. And my dad was the closest person to me. So it was like, I just wasn't willing to face any possibility that anything was actually wrong.
Right.
But in that moment she called, my first reaction was to go into denial again. Like, I don't have time for this. He'll be fine. I have too much work. And it was just in that split second, I saw myself do that. And for anyone who knows me, I, like, my dad and I were just like two peas in a pod, all the inside jokes, best friends since I was a baby, you know, like so close. And the moment I watched myself not have time for him, I saw, like, for clearly I had completely lost track of who I was.
Wow. Wow. So you really had in that moment, actually, the realization how far away you were from yourself and the person you maybe truly are. And that was a moment for you to wake up when you were the furthest away. Now, when we come back, we will talk more about this and also then the chaos that probably transpired afterwards and how you found stillness in it. And of course, also your amazing work that transpired from it. So we will be right back, more with Leah Perlman of Dharma Comics.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
You, yes, you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Frankel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty, because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit DrAgnesFrankel.com.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together. As technology uses the healing and psycho-spiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech chair.
The Soltech Lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to soltechwellbeing.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-C, wellbeing.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Friedman Chow. We are on Empowerment Radio with the lovely Leah Perlman, and she is the author of Dharma Comics and this wonderful book, Drawn Together, a Dharma Comics collection on the curious journey through life and love. Now, Leah, where can people find out more about your work?
Yeah, so I post all my comics on my website, which is dharmacomics.com. Dharma is D-H-A-R-M-A comics.com.
Now, obviously, Dharma Comics is so much more than a like button. Now, you mentioned before that you went through this realization how far you actually got away from yourself. And for some people, that would be just the call to go to the psychiatrist and get drugs. What did you do?
I went into work that day and I told my boss that my dad was sick and I needed, I wanted a sabbatical from work. And he said yes. And they granted me a 6-month unpaid, you know, time away. And one of my intentions was to spend time with my dad, but I also knew the real issue was I had lost myself. And so to try and find my way back.
Right.
So I ended up for those 6 months, one of the, my guiding principle was contrast, which was I was going to try to experience and do things that were just really different than the way that I had done things before. One of the first things I did almost a week and a half later that, so I left and then I bought a ticket to Burning Man. and I went to Burning Man with two
friends.
That was
the first time, I assume.
Yes, it was the first time. And if you had known me, I mean, it was like, I've been 5 times now, but at the time it was crazy. Like there was no part of me that would have thought, I used to think, you know, it was all about productivity, accomplishment, getting things done. So the idea of just like hanging out for a week and like wandering around looking at art just sounded like kind of the biggest waste of time. Like I just couldn't imagine enjoying it. But then I realized I was so overdeveloped in that whole productivity thing. And I had two friends who I really adored who were going, it just suddenly seemed like a really good idea.
What else did you do as contrast? I love this concept.
Well, I had two friends getting married in India. So I made a plan to go to India and I'd never traveled much in my life. I'd never even studied abroad. I was so like focused on my studies in college. So I decided to go to India. And then since I was going to be there, I suddenly remembered a friend had told me about a silent meditation retreat she'd done. Mm. And 10 days of silence occurred to me as contrast. I had no idea that it was Buddhist. I didn't really know what I had never meditated in my life. So I had no idea what I was getting into with 15 hours of silent meditation a day. but that experience certainly blew my mind. So I did 10 days of silent meditation in Nepal. I went to Bhutan and toured around Bhutan because I'd heard it was a country that organized itself around happiness instead of productivity, like their gross national happiness score instead of a gross national product. And so it seemed like the exact kind of contrast that I was looking for.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza decides to be exactly the opposite of what he usually is. And that opposite just turned out to be a much better version of himself. So once you did that, did you find then a middle ground or what did you discover in this contrast experience?
Well, that's such a good question. I would say some of the things I experienced, and they still sound a little cheesy to me, but I actually had my first experience of love. Like, I didn't really know what people meant when they said love before. Mm-hmm. And I found in it, my first memory of it was at Burning Man, actually. And it was after days and days of, you know, no agenda, nothing to do but connect with people. I opened up into this kind of plane of, you know, connection that, because I'd been so driven by my accomplishments, my numbers, my scores, like, I just had never really slowed down to prioritize connection mm-hmm. over accomplishment.
Hmm.
So suddenly I saw why people might want to gather for a week together and look at art. Like, I understood art and experience in a way that I had never given it any credit before.
So was this love something that you felt got triggered by a person or by a piece of art, or was it just simply that your heart cracked open and you found there was love inside?
I would say partly by a person. There was it was a conversation with an ex-boyfriend, and it was late one night, and he told me he wasn't mad at me for breaking up with him. And he'd said that 100 times before, but for some reason I'd always felt guilt, shame, like I did this to him, something like that. And suddenly in that late night, you know, sitting on a swinging couch in the middle of the desert with lights everywhere, I had my first experience of really being forgiven.
Mm.
And not that he was forgiving me for the first time, but I finally let it in. And I suddenly saw, you know, like, a person can make mistakes, whatever a mistake is. I don't even know what that means anymore. But at the time it was like, it's okay to just do what you do and you can recover. And I'd been such a perfectionist and so scared of making mistakes my whole life that somehow in that moment I freed myself up to just, you know, to just live and learn and then keep living and keep learning without that meaning that there was something wrong with me, that I didn't get it all right the first time.
Now, did you on this, by the way, if anyone has any questions for Leah, just call 888-418-6890. I should have said it before, but I'm saying it now. 888-418-6890, or ask your questions on the chat box on the Transformation Talk Radio website. Now, what you just said about this forgiveness and love moment, did that also open you up more to loving yourself?
It did. I remember a moment where, for anyone who's ever been to Burning Man, it has a bit of a culture where, you know, it's kind of like radical love. Like you show up and you just assume you're friends with everyone. And I remember having this moment of seeing everyone, you know, riding their bikes past me and everyone's waving, hi, love you. And I look at them, hi, love you. And I'm just like, okay, I love everybody here. Everyone seems to love me. I had that like feeling. I'm like, there's only one connection that's missing. And I realized it was like, well, if they all can love me, I'm the only person who's not doing that. And so somehow I just in that moment, it was sort of a logical way in. I was like, this actually doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I can receive this much love from all these people, and I don't think I'm worthy of it myself. So I almost just reasoned my way into realizing that self-love actually makes more sense than not.
But it has to make sense, right?
Yes. I am still a very left brain kind of person. Okay. I still am. So then that was sort of the beginning. And then, you know, the last 7 years have been so much practice, a lot of practice.
How would you say, I mean, this is, you know, you changed your life quite a bit. What would you say in this, you know, practice of self-love? What is one of the keys or the tools that you would find probably anyone can really benefit from?
Yes. Well, one of the things I'll say, and this will connect a little bit to how I ended up starting to draw Dharma comics. Self-love, I have come to realize, means loving everything. all of it. It doesn't mean becoming the kind of person that's worthy of love. It means, you know, if I'm sitting there having a thought, and this has been a great example through all the, you know, the recent election, just watching the thoughts that come into my mind. Sometimes there's anger, sometimes there's blame, sometimes there's judgment. And for me, self-love means noticing those thoughts and loving the thoughts and me for having them. And like, no matter what is occurring in my awareness, that that's something worthy of love. So it's a practice of noticing and accepting whatever it is that I see.
But you would admit that probably there is a little gap between accepting and loving. I mean, is accepting the first step?
You know, I guess when I use those words, they feel there. I'm actually using them synonymously.
Okay.
Because true acceptance, you know, and love is like, yes, you're allowed here. I appreciate you for being here exactly as you are.
Yeah. I mean, love has different flavors and many different facets. So acceptance, the true acceptance that you just described, is certainly one of them.
Yes.
And so how did this get you to Dharma Comics?
So Dharma Comics came about just so randomly. And I like it now as just, it's a teaching metaphor, even for myself, but for other people too, because I had so much planning and agenda in my life. And Dharma Comics just was this silent, sneaky little thing that happened on the side, which was, as I was exploring that 6 months off, I was starting to learn things that I hadn't learned before. And I'd always been a blogger, you know, I'd write about things that were interesting to me. But during that time, I also started to add these little stick figure illustrations to what I was writing, partly because if my writing had illustrations, more people would click on them.
And you would be more liked.
Exactly. Which was still a part of me, is still a part of me. But pretty soon I would notice that what I would draw would be kind of the essence of what I was writing, and that actually it would kind of get to the heart of something, and the rest of the story wasn't even that necessary. And what I realized, so one of my earliest Dharma comics was a comic about when someone I was dating broke up with me. And he said, "I just want to be friends." And it's a comic called "I Just Want to Be Friends." And, you know, it was kind of, I was at a point where, and remember in this context, I was trying to get to know myself better. I realized it's like, I'm a person who's heartbroken right now. And I can do the old thing, which is only put the happy moments up on Facebook. But I just wanted to be seen for how I was really feeling, and how I was feeling was heartbroken, but I also didn't want a whole bunch of people in my business. So just drawing the comic, I was like, I bet everyone, most people can relate to "I Just Want to Be Friends," that experience of hearing that from someone. And drawing it allowed me to feel seen for what was actually happening without kind of opening myself up to too much drama or too much conversation.
So how did you draw it? What did you show?
Yeah, it's, there's a little stick figure with a heart, and then another stick figure, and he's shooting arrows into the first stick figure's heart. And with each arrow, there's a word, "I just want to be friends." And as each arrow lands, the heart is breaking into more and more pieces.
Yeah, I know. That's definitely something people can relate to. Well, but you know, the beauty about your Dharma comics and the book is just that there is so much just truth in it that people can relate to, not just the hard moments, but they are the moments also that are uplifting, you know, like there is one comic where you had, when you feel, you know, that everything is very heavy. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing, and then little stick figure is basic. Remember, this is where you stand, and the stick figure basically is on the top of the world and not holding the world up like, you know, it has to carry it. And that's just really, I mean, it's very eye-opening, and it's very simple, just like the like button is very simple and very clear once you see it. And that's what I love about your book. It's like, oh, of course, it's, you know, everyone can relate to it, but not everyone can express it and show it and bring it to such a clarity as you can. So it's really a beautiful work, and I think it's a healing work, especially in the times where you just need a little friend. This book is like a little friend who says, yes, I get you, I understand you, I know where you're coming from. And yes, that's so, how do you deal with you know, like life? Are you just writing every time you're having a little insight or crisis, you do a little comic? Or is that just something that, you know, is coming out of you when you hear about other people? I mean, how do you create these comics?
Yeah. Well, I hear two questions there. So kind of how do I do life?
Life with the comics. Yes. I mean, I'm sure we can talk for 10 hours how you do life, but if you have a short version, I'm happy to hear it. Definitely.
Yes. So sometimes in what you just spoke to, I think the comic for me, once I'm drawing the comic, it's basically like, it almost feels like the answer to a riddle. Yeah. So it's like the essential, you know, even a comic is simple with the caption, I miss you. You know, it can take me weeks of realizing a friend and I are in an argument and we're not talking as much as we used to, you know, all of his text messages, maybe they seem passive aggressive. I'm talking to my friends about it. It's kind of like there's all this drama. And then if I pay attention to what's happening long enough, eventually I find what's actually happening underneath all of it is I miss you.
Mm.
So a comic, each of my comics to me, you mentioned they feel, they can be healing. And that's really how I experience it, is like once I get down to what's actually happening, the ache of missing somebody that I love, and it takes for me, and that's kind of why I heard two questions. A lot of practice, a lot of process. There's the way that I do my life has a lot of practices around getting to that essential core, but it takes time. It takes support from people around me. It takes actual practices from different traditions to find what that essential healing essence of whatever it is. And the moment that I get it, there it is. Usually an image, just a really simple image, just comes with it. Or if I have the caption, I can just think like, what would be the best way to illustrate that one thought?
I mean, I love this stick figure. It's almost like your alter ego or your little friend inside who just reveals the truth that, you know, maybe is not so clear in your head, but it definitely comes very clear on the paper.
Yes.
And in these simple gestures, it's just so, there's so much said in the simple pictures. There's so much wisdom in there. So I think you're lucky to have such a friend. I mean, it's a whimsical friend because it's very thin, but it's very powerful with what it can express. Now, you also have words. You write in it. And so I ask you in the break if you can read one of my favorites, which is called Tiny Little Yes.
Yes. Great. So this is a poem that I wrote about for anyone who's in a question about, you know, their life path, or for me, just how I started listening. Well, I'll read it. It's pretty self-explanatory. Okay, the poem is called Tiny Little Yes. There's a tiny little yes inside, hiding where the yeses hide. You'll find it squeezed in right beside a maybe and a can't decide. It's buried down beneath the woes, somewhere between the nays and noes. You'll have to look past rows and rows of sort ofs, not quites, and so-sos. Once your yes is in your grasp, prepare to wonder, gape, and gasp. You may suspect this can't be right, but trust your gut and hold on tight.
It's just really so beautiful. And it really illustrates so wonderfully the journey for the yes that, you know, all of us have been looking for with these just also at times difficult questions and challenges we are facing, where we are sitting on the fence, we are wondering, is this the right space, is it the right decision? And certainly you have been at different crossroads in your life as well. Now, we talked about that this title of the show is about stillness in the midst of chaos, and I think your whole journey and everything that you have done and that you have discovered about self-love and following your calling and going inside are certainly ways to find stillness. But are there other suggestions, other maybe practices or insights that you have gained on how to find that stillness in the midst of chaos?
Yeah. One of my favorite practices right now is either with paper and pencil or on my computer. I will open a blank document or a blank piece of paper, and I'll just write my thoughts as they come in. Mm-hmm. Not quite like a journal. It's more like if I was just, you know, watching like the ticker tape on the news, you know, of what's coming or something, or the stock market. It's like, you know, I'll see a thought that's like, I should reorganize my closet. And the next thought is, oh, shoot, I forgot to pay Hannah. And then the next thought is, I need to quit drinking coffee. And the next thought is, I love coffee. I don't want to quit drinking coffee. So I'll just literally just with, you know, as much equanimity as possible, I'll just write them down. And it is so fascinating. And the thing I find most interesting about it is watching how many thoughts are trying to tell me what to do, and just to notice that I don't have to react to them. That actually the thought playing, you know, we probably have 1,000 thoughts a minute and we probably only react to one or two of them. So just to notice that what happens in the thought world and what happens in the physical world don't actually have that much in common. You know, you might have a thought that's like, I don't want to get out of bed. And then you notice you're getting out of bed the very next second. so I really like to, my practice is basically to notice that I don't have to react to my thoughts. So I can write them down. And if I write them down, I give them a home and I give them validation, but I don't necessarily have to react. And I find that right now, especially for me and in my world, you know, around the election, there's kind of all this energy, like, what do I do? There's something to do. It's a feeling like there's something to do, but right. I don't really know what to do. So rather than run around trying to look busy or feel busy, I'm right now, my practice is just to keep watching my thoughts so that, to the poem's point earlier, so that when a yes comes up, when it's like a thought is like, you know, call this person and see how you can help. When a thought that really feels like a yes to me shows up, I can act on it. But if I'm reacting to all the other thoughts, I get really dizzy and exhausted and I wear myself out and I overcommit and I'm not as available for the honest yes.
And how do you experience your yeses? Where do you feel them?
That's such a good question. So probably the best illustration I can have is, let's say you're sitting in your house and someone knocks on your door and you open the door and it is the person you most hope is standing there. Whether it's like your loved one or a childhood friend you haven't seen in forever, or a teacher that you know, read all their books or something. Like, if you imagine, who do I most want to see standing at the door? For me, my yes is that feeling. It's like, I've just opened the door and I'm like, oh, yes, there's no one else I'd rather see. And that can be a yes as small as like when I realize exactly what I want to have for lunch, but it kind of has that feeling of, it just has that feeling of yes.
That's a beautiful metaphor. It's a great way. I mean, it's kind of, I can imagine a very strong feeling when you have a yes. You know, people say, well, I feel my yes when there is an opening in my chest or when there is a warmth in my heart. But the way you describe it, it's you really wait for the clear yes. You're not doing like yays. I mean, it's like yeses. I mean, you want them real. And it sounds like you're a patient also in letting those yeses come to you.
Well, I want to say it's a practice. So that's what I just described is sort of aspirational. And then mm-hmm. I watch, you know, it's sometimes I'll be doing my meditation, writing down my thoughts. And then suddenly I'm up and I'm snacking when I'm not even hungry. And then I get interested. I'm like, wow, how did that just happen? I'll go back and look, what was I just writing about? And I see which thoughts are really triggering for me that I left my practice without even noticing. Or so I watch. It's an iterative practice to notice, oh, I went for a maybe just then and it didn't actually work out that well. And I just pay attention so that over time there's not a lot of force in it. It's just, if I really pay attention, that was a no and I said yes anyway and it didn't feel that good, I just notice how much it didn't feel good and I'm less likely to recreate that the next time.
Well, Leah, thank you so much. Unfortunately, our time is already over. And I would love to say yes to another hour with you because it's so interesting to talk with you. And I'm so glad that you are here with your work to also brighten our days and make us really refocus on ourselves. And I think if we are especially right now needing more stillness inside, what you just described about being curious about yourself, finding out where your thoughts go, looking where your yeses are, finding that what really lights up your day. I mean, that in itself brings a sense of stillness and centeredness with itself. So thank you so much for sharing all of your work. Let the listeners please know one more time how they can see your work.
Yes. Everything that I draw is posted at dharmacomics.com. That's dharmacomics.com.
Thanks again. And well, until next time in 2 weeks with Empowerment Radio, we will talk about holidays and how to make the holidays actually fulfilling and rewarding for you and not just for the people around you. So I hope to see you then. Take care.
You've been listening to Empowerment Radio with Dr. Friedemann Schaub. Join Dr. Friedemann the first and third Wednesday each month at 11 a.m. Pacific as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges of our daily lives. Discover how you can use the power of your mind to overcome stress, anxiety, and overwhelm and create a solid foundation of confidence and self-esteem. Learn cutting-edge tools so that you can approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. To learn more about what Dr. Schaub can do for you, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.